We're back. Garrett Moore here, our third hour on Wednesday, the 6th day of September. The proper tip today is to inventory your library. We have patient Wayne Green and my friend Jeff Nyquist. The bumper music played is especially for Jeff Nyquist. That's the opening scene from the original Red Dawn, which I saw when it first came out in the movie shows. And Jeff began his quest to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with the International Comics Conspiracy. 37 years ago, he began that quest. He's the author of 6 books. They are for sale at Amazon.com. His website is jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. And he writes 1, occasionally 2 excellent articles a week posted at jrnyquist.blog. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Well, sir, for new listeners, I had the opportunity to watch the original Red Dawn at a movie show. I had my wife with me and 2 members of my Special Forces A-team. We had the our team leader and I was the intelligence NCO, and our communications NCO. So the 4 of us sat there watching it. And early in the film, the teenagers are at their hideout in the Rocky Mountains, and the character named Robert, he begins sawing off the barrel of a 12-gauge shotgun to make it more suitable for guerrilla warfare. And this is where being in a live audience makes a difference. The audience spontaneously broke into applause when that character was doing that. I was surprised and pleased when that happened, but that's the true American character coming out there, Jeff, isn't it?
Well, I suppose so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So your belief, which I share, is that eventually, I can't say when, I'm not going to name a date, Chinese will get to Chinese military boots on the ground here in the United States. Now, the film Red Dawn is, they didn't just pick that name out of a hat. That's an official Pentagon wartime scenario, Red Dawn, and that's why they picked that name for that film, which was updated 20 years later. The updated version was going to have the Communist Chinese invading the United States. The Communist Chinese put sufficient pressure on the studio, economic pressure, that they changed the invading force to North Koreans. Didn't they, Jeff?
Yeah, well, that means that their Chinese have already got so much influence here, they can change the kind of movies that we see.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Of course, it's ridiculous having North Korea, a tiny North Korea, invade North America when they don't even have a Navy.
No.
Or an Air Force big enough to support such an invasion.
I know. They might be able to take over downtown Seattle, but that would be the extent of their capabilities.
Well, they'd have to be covered by the Russians and Chinese to get here.
Exactly.
So that means you're talking about a Russian-Chinese invasion.
Precisely. All right, precisely. We talk, you know, you get just about more time than anybody on this show. And that's for good reason, because the threat posed by the International Communist Conspiracy is a clear and present danger. And to it, the better. The more people are aware of this and knowledgeable, the more people will get ready, which, in my opinion, is a smart thing to do. Don't you think, Jeff, getting ready?
Well, yeah, it's always good to be prepared, because any number of things can happen. We could get a strong flare from the sun that could knock electricity out for
Roger that.
Who knows how long. There's natural phenomena. In 1859, we had the Carrington event, which melted all the telegraphs, you know, destroyed the telegraph system.
It
that
did.
Was before we have all of this. If that event happened now, we would be just like if we were hit with an EMP attack, only it would be Mother Nature calling. And they say there's one of these events every century. So we didn't have one in the 20th century.
Right.
We're overdue.
A coronal mass ejections, they happen on a fairly regular basis every few years. They're directed. They're like a rifle shot. We've been fortunate to say 1859. We've avoided another big one. But it's a matter of happenstance and chance as to when a major coronal mass ejection will hit the planet Earth. There's a big difference between a coronal mass ejection generated by the sun and EMP, man-made weapons. EMP man-made weapons are also directional. They can't go around the curvature of the Earth, so they could affect as many as 12 time zones, but not the entire planet. Unless you
EMP effect is line of sight.
That's what I said. Yeah. I get it backwards. Line of sight. So they can only go.
Line of sight. But the thing is that if you've got an EMP going into wires, it can travel through those wires beyond the line of sight.
That's true also. But without dwelling on the technical details, being prepared to survive that would be a smart thing for homes and communities both, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, we've become dependent on our gadgets and on trucks and vehicles and the ability to pull up to a station and use an electric pump to pump gas into your car. So if electricity fails, all that fails. And so we don't know how long, the EMP Commission determined that that in 11 months, 80% of the population of the U.S. would be dead because they couldn't restore the power to the country in 11 months.
Right.
That was more than a decade ago. I think it was like 15, 16 years ago, the EMP Commission determined this.
That's right.
And I talked to one of the members of the commission, and he said, well, it's higher than 80%.
I typically hear 90% was, I've interviewed the head of that commission on this show myself, Dr. Peter Pry, and of course he's deceased, and he was a great cheerleader to help get the country prepared. I did find out that lack of preparedness during the Obama administration was not inadvertent incompetency by Washington bureaucrats. It was intentional to make sure no funding went to that effort, Jeff. Are you aware of that?
Well, I knew Peter was one of my friends, so I knew him for 20 years, for more than 20 years. The actual story was that the first time they got a bill together, and I think it was 12 years ago now, maybe further back, it was a Republican senator from Texas that killed it. I mean, Texas, a Republican senator from Alaska who killed the bill in committee.
That's right.
Yeah. So it was actually, it had nothing to do with the Obama White House. A bill never reached Obama's desk. So, and the administration wasn't going to ask for the funding from Congress. They weren't going to push on it. And so it actually, the first time, was a Republican senator, because Alaska's not part of our grid. So they didn't care. The senator didn't care.
Well, I regard that senator as a rhino myself.
It's a very unfortunate thing, because for the peanuts of just a few billion dollars, which is nothing when you're talking about multiple trillion-dollar budgets,
right?
You could protect the grid.
Exactly.
And that it's just insane that nothing has been done. They got other bills before Congress that were killed in other ways. So they can't get a bill out of committee. I don't know what the more recent, I didn't keep track of it more recently, what's going on. But, Peter briefed candidate Trump in 2016 during the election. And Trump told him, oh, yeah, I'll take care of that. Well, he was president 4 years. He didn't.
That's right. He did not. Oh. My Monday guest is Andrew with EMP Shield, and we've had a couple of appearances with Bill Fortune, the author of 1 Second After, and the more recent book just released last month, 5 Years After. We've had some fascinating discussions about this topic on Mondays, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to dwell on this topic exclusively this show, but people need to educate themselves about the true nature of EMP attacks as well as coronal mass ejections and move forward. There's a way for counties to be more resistant and get help at no cost from EMP Shield. And there's contact information on my website for EMP Shield to help counties get ready independent of the national situation. Anyway, moving on from there, Jeff, do you have any updates on what's going on with this nearly two-year-long war in Ukraine, sir?
Yeah, it's been going on for more than 18 months now. Well, the Ukrainians have, at one point in the line, broken through the first line of defense and are up against the second. And if they go very far, I don't know how many miles it is, past the second one, they'll cut the main rail artery that's supplying the Russian armies in the south and in Crimea. So I guess we'll see. Given that it's the 6th of September already, and given that the rains are coming and going to become more frequent, I'm not sure that the distance needed to go and the speed at which they're able to go is going to be traversable. The Ukrainians aren't being given sufficient ammunition at the rate they need to actually prosecute an offensive. That's been the real issue. If they had the ammunition, the HIMAR ammunition and the other ammunition that they needed, they could really go to town on the Russians. But the administration wants to restrict the Ukrainian ability to launch an offensive and to take territory back. And I think it's Biden's sly way of helping the Russians and the Chinese that they got themselves in this problem. I think that some European countries are pulling with all the wherewithal they have. Little countries like Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, countries like Poland and Norway even. But the United States is not pulling its weight in the help that it's giving. Relative to our actual wherewithal, we could make sure that this war ends quickly by just simply giving more wherewithal to the Ukrainians, and we're not doing it.
Okay. Let's take a call here, Jeff. We got Jim in Michigan. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, John and Jeff. How are you?
Good. All right. Good. What's in your mind?
Good. I don't know if you're aware of something like it in the House and the Senate, when you get the House bill and you get the Senate bill, and then it goes to conference committee to merge the two bills together to add amendments or take out amendments. I think what you'll find, are you familiar with the discharge petition?
Tell us about it.
Well, what it is, it's just, they pass it in the House. It's the best way for your congressman to lie to you. You can get a Senate bill and a House bill, and you'll have tons of sponsors from either side, Democrats, Republicans, and they're going, oh, yeah, really, I'm gung-ho on this bill. We're going to get this passed through. So in that conference committee, though, unless the majority of the Congress in the House signs that discharge petition to bring that bill out of conference committee, it'll never get out. And it used to be James Inhofe, when he was a congressman, exposed this many, many, many years ago. And the consequences for exposing the fact that there was even such a thing as a discharge petition, I mean, they could censor you like crazy, but it didn't work that way. And I think people always, they forgot about it, the fact that even if your congressman co-sponsored a bill, if he doesn't go up and sign that discharge petition, that bill will never get out of committee. So this is how they lie to us, and this is how they trick us. So
yeah,
I don't know if you're aware of that.
I can give their constituency.
Yeah, you can kill a bill in committee so that it never gets
to the
floor. Yeah.
Well, I'm saying discharge petition, which is on the House floor, and if your congressman does not go and sign that to discharge that bill out of committee, it'll never get out of committee. And they do that on purpose because they're gung-ho for it, but they never want to have to vote on it. So anyway,
well,
just
the thing
that let you with that.
Yeah. The thing that happens in Congress is called log rolling. And what you have is you have different congressmen want to pass different bills. They're concerned with different issues. So they will support someone else's if somebody else supports theirs. And so there's a game, there's a negotiation game that's going on. If they're against something, all right, well, we'll kill this one. But if you support this one, we won't kill it. And so this is what they're negotiating. And so what they're really concerned with are bills that are going to help them when they go to be reelected. And when you get to something like EMP, The public doesn't really want to hear about it because it sounds really ugly and scary. And the public doesn't really, you know, people like scary movies, but they don't like scary reality. So I think
I understand that, and that's all tit-for-tat, okay? That goes on all the time. My biggest point is the fact, if there's a bill in the committee, unless over 50% signed for that bill to come out of committee, it'll never come out. And nobody knows about that. And it's the best way for congressmen to lie to us and get away with it. So thank you, gentlemen.
So they say they support it, but they won't sign it. They won't put their name on it.
They won't put their name on the discharge petition to get it out of committee. Sure. That's correct.
Well, politicians lie, right?
Roger that. Jim,
yeah, watch your mouth move and start it. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, thanks for the call. The call number is 512-248-8252. Is there any hope that you're aware of that the Ukrainian armed forces will get what they need to prosecute this war, Jeff?
No. Look, I think I mentioned this on the show before. Andrei Larionov, who works for the Center for Security Policy, wrote a paper, 2 months ago, you know, outlining, okay, the Congress has passed $48 billion in arms appropriations. This is not humanitarian aid. And the administration publicly whittled it down to $40 billion. But then they only, as of, you know, several weeks ago, they'd only sent $17 billion. So that's a lot of money, 17, but when you compare it to an $850 billion defense budget and a $3 trillion budget, $17 billion is so tiny in terms of military aid. I mean, you think about the $85 billion of military equipment we left behind in Afghanistan. You know, which, by the way, our enemies got that $85 billion, and those are relatively new arms that we left behind in Afghanistan. Some of them were newer things. We are sending Ukraine hand-me-downs. We're sending them ammunition that next year is going to expire, and it's cheaper actually for us to transport the ammo to Ukraine than it is to probably destroy it because it's past shelf life. So having them expend them on the battlefield is actually it's actually a sensible thing to do. And then we're giving military vehicles and things that aren't of any you are going to be mothballed or destroyed anyway. And we haven't, so far, they're supposed to be getting their 31 or whatever it is, Abrams tanks. So here we are, a year and a half in the war, and the United States hasn't sent a single tank to Ukraine. So what kind, no aircraft, of course. So, you know, we've sent some anti-aircraft missiles, which helps to protect civilians from being killed, which is a good thing. But as far as the military use value, the most important thing we've sent are the HIMARS, and we initially only sent 12, and I think it's maybe there's 24 of them now, and some other countries in Europe have sent some. So that is but we restrict the amount of ammo that we give for it, and we restrict the range of the ammo that they have. So the Russians are fully able to strike them, but they have limited ability to strike back.
Hold your thought. We have a break. Call number is 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBN Readers 2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBN Readers 2023 at antelopehillpublishing.com.
Fix bayonets.
Lady Eden and Nicole Colgren. Many men have gone.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This hour is sponsored by the Energy Cleaner. If you're tired of being tired, what are you waiting for? Arthritis pain got you down? What are you waiting for? Energy Cleaner is only $285, shipping included, American zip codes. Mattress pads go with it. They vary in price depending on what you need. I'm getting a fresh shipment of Energy Cleaners at the end of this week, and I'll take care of your order personally. I ship them out priority mail from the Little Country Post Office at Cherryville, Missouri. Details at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist, his website's jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. Excellent articles written there every week. 6 books for sale at Amazon.com. Jeff, there's some statements being made by the Chinese communists being upset with America selling weapons to Taiwan. What do you know about that, sir, if anything?
Well, of course, they maintain that Taiwan is their territory, and we play the game where we officially, this is a dishonest kind of game we played because we wanted to trade with China. We recognize, China won't have diplomatic recognition with anyone who recognizes Taiwan as a country. You know, the Republic of China, as it's called. That's what Taiwan's government is. And so they're right down to that, where they'd be bristling and ready to, you know, threaten you with nuclear war if you recognize Taiwan and you didn't recognize, you know, they won't recognize you. They shut down their embassies. I mean, we should have done this a long time. No, we recognize the Republic of China, the People's Republic of China. So obviously, if you're giving, it's a breakaway province, according to them in Beijing. And if we give weapons to a breakaway province, we're committing an act of war against China, according to them. Now, long ago, President Truman said, look, I'm not going to let, you know, we're not technically allies, but I'm not going to let the Red Chinese overrun you. Right. So the U.S. Navy has kind of protected Taiwan from invasion, as if the, by the way, the the People's Liberation Army could actually mount an invasion. It's only in recent years they've had the capacity to launch an invasion. And I'm one of the people that doesn't believe they could successfully invade without a prolonged blockade in advance, which they could just, if they could have a prolonged blockade of Taiwan, they could force it to surrender without an invasion. And that would be, if you know the history of Chinese warfare, you know that's their preferred strategy, a direct invasion. I don't think so. I think their invasion forces, the fact that they're, what is it called, the 71 class, or is it a 72 class amphibious transport, can actually go all the way from China to parts of the West Coast in one leap. So why do they have a long-range amphibious transport when Taiwan is right there just off their coast? See, I think that they have a general idea of occupying places in the Pacific Ocean. And I think they want to, you talked about Red Dawn at the beginning, they want to eventually, their goal is, whether they ever get here or not is another question. Their ultimate goal is they want to get to North America. If you look at Chihao Chen's speech, they want to own the lower 48 states. If you go to the testimony of Colonel Stanislav Lunov, who's worked in China and spoke fluent Mandarin, he understood that Russia and China had made a deal, an agreement in the early 90s before his defection to divide the continent of North America between Russia and China, where China would get the lower 48. And of course, as Chihao Chen explains in his secret speech, a former defense minister of China, the idea was they want to make a second China in the lower 48. They want to exterminate the existing population and bring in Chinese. Because look, China is a country the same size as the United States, but it has four times the U.S. population. You know, so how does that work, right? Countries can have ambitions. It doesn't mean they're going to be able to do it.
Right.
Could pie in the sky, but when you got nuclear weapons, one of the points I make in my first book is that weapons of mass destruction strategically can accomplish things that were never possible before. In fact, Chihao Chen points this out in his speech. It never before was possible or practicable to exterminate entire nations, but now these weapons, biological, chemical, nuclear, allow types of attacks that can so catastrophically reduce a population that it is possible to achieve such a goal. So think about how evil they are. They're scheming on this. They've been scheming on it for, well, Chihao Chen's speech was more than 20 years ago now, but they were scheming on it long before that. And you go back, Mao Zedong had a meeting with his generals. It ended up getting out and being translated. He said, I want to build the Chinese military such that we could land troops in San Francisco and the Philippines and all these other places. You got to think big, in other words, as Mao was telling his generals. 1958 was the year I was born. I'm 65 years old. So this has been in their head, put in their head from their earliest times of the People's Republic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Here is our next break. Call number is 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
John Moore's private consultations are the most comprehensive services available any place, anywhere in the world. They're available now and provide valuable knowledge and information that protects an individual, family, or group. We provide clarity, focus, and information for you and your associates for any situation. We have just the right knowledge, just the right information from just the right professionals. Schedule your consultation for your family or group now. Contact us at thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Once again, thelibertyman.com.
Company will fix bayonets! Fix! Bayonets!
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. We have the worst crime in human history taking place, according to Dr. Michael Yaden, former vice president at Pfizer, former director of medical research at Pfizer, that crime being the distribution of these COVID vaccinations worldwide. More than 200 articles and videos, including Dr. Michael Yaden, at thelibertyman.com. If you're tired of being tired, check out the Injury Cleaner. If the arthritis pain has you down, other pain, check out the Injury Cleaner. I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee. You can't go wrong. So check out the Injury Cleaner. You make your purchase right there at my website for your Injury Cleaner, your mattress pad that goes with it, at thelibertyman.com, or call my toll-free hour line 24 hours a day. That's 800-592-9543. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist, his website's jrnyquist.blog, books for sale at Amazon. Jeff, I've mentioned this before, but I read an article published by the Taiwan government in all the newspapers, and they mentioned in there that Taiwan would be reunited with China. I wrote the ambassador from Free China a letter asking him, "Sir, how can you reunite something that was never united in the first place? Taiwan never has been part of Communist China. So how can you reunite something that was never united in the first place? When you use the language of your enemy, Jeff, you've lost half the battle, haven't you?"
Yeah, the communists get their enemies to do this all the time, and it has to do with the art of their political warfare, which, of course, in China has a much older. China has perhaps the oldest history of autocracy and dictatorial government of any civilization or country, going back to the first Qin emperor, it would be as if the Roman Empire still existed in Europe today, because China is that sort of formation. It isn't really true that it's ethnically homogeneous.
Oh, no.
You know, and people don't, you know, the great Han Chinese thing is largely a myth. But, you know, they don't even speak the same language in southern China as in, you know, as Mandarin. So it's a huge country. But it was, you know, around, I think it was around the 5th century BC that the first Qin emperor united it. And it's very sad because the first Qin emperor was a evil guy. He was very fond of a philosopher who invented the school of legalism, Han Feitzu. And Han Feitzu said that if you can just control people's bodies, that is by threatening them with punishment, you can control the population, you know, by being able to inflict harm on people. And then you can fashion them, make out of them what you will, almost like behaviorism, like Pavlov and his dogs. And this Han Feitzu's, you know, legalism was, in fact, the story of Han Feitzu is kind of interesting because he wanted to, of course, see China unified. And the first Qin emperor was adoring of him. But the first Qin emperor had all these other, you know, wise men, strategists around him who were envious of Han Feitzu. So when Han Feitzu came to his court, they conspired against him. They imprisoned him and tortured him and killed him. In fact, so that because they were so jealous of him, and I imagine they just made up a story. I forget the details that to tell the first Qin emperor, but the first Qin emperor didn't last very long. I'm not remembering how long. I don't think his decade lasted. I mean, his rule lasted more than a decade, but I may not be remembering the exact years. But he decided he was going to destroy all Chinese literature because he wanted literature to start with him.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, think about what a tyrant this guy was. He had a palace with, I don't know, hundreds of rooms so that he could hide.
Hide from whom?
Assassins.
Oh,
people who wanted to kill him.
Uh-huh. What a strange guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and approximately, when was that, sir? Approximately what year would that have been?
5th century B.C.
You know, I have a question. You may or may not have an answer, but these royal families, they acquired wealth and power in all these various centuries. Have the descendants of these wealthy royal families continued to have wealth and power and exerted even today? Do you know?
In China? No. The last emperor, they even made a movie about him. He was a puppet emperor of Manchuria under the Japanese. No, they don't. Look, there were many dynasties, and all these dynasties got wiped out in succession and, you know, replaced by others. Like, you know, when Genghis Khan took over China, his grandson, Kublai Khan, became the emperor of China and famously invaded Japan. That's where we get the word kamikaze from, the divine wind. He tried to invade China, Japan numerous times, and these hurricanes or typhoons, I think they call them, whipped up and kept destroying his invasions. So that's where the kamikaze, the divine wind saved the Japanese.
That's where that comes from.
That's where that comes from, yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. I've read that the ancient Chinese were building wooden ships as large as World War II aircraft carriers. They had just some extraordinary things, didn't they?
Yeah, well, China was more advanced and had a more sophisticated economy than economy than any in the world until the British came along. I think the 1820s or 30s. Then they were overtaken by the West. But China, everybody wanted to trade with China because they had such interesting things to sell. But you remember in the 1840s, the Opium Wars began. The Chinese got this addiction to opium, which ravaged their society. They also, they had the Mandarin The Mandarin are the class of intellectuals, and their culture is based on Confucian. It's a traditionalist kind of notion of what is right and wrong and good. It's kind of connected to ancestor worship, and it has a lot of the same principles that Western philosophy has. If you go to, it might be close to Aristotle, who said the middle way is best. That's kind of Confucius, and so they study, and Mandarin is a very difficult language. It may be the most difficult language to master in the world. And of course, its writing is very complicated. And so it was mastery of this was a great thing. The first Qin emperor bragged, I think, that he'd killed 10,000 Confucian scholars. And he bragged that he'd killed that many. It's very interesting. Mao Zedong laughed at the first Qin emperor. He kind of tried to become a super Qin emperor, first Qin emperor, in that he said, Mao said, oh, the Qin emperor bragged that he killed 10,000 Confucian scholars. We killed 100,000. He's just nothing compared to us. Because that was the traditional Chinese, you know, ideas of right and wrong and good and evil. And so the problem was with this evil history is that if you have something that kind of succeeds and is the first thing to unite an empire or a country, that's an evil example is followed. And this is imbued in their political culture, that evil is what wins. You know.
Okay. Well, this is an interesting historical update, and the Han Chinese have been running the country for what, centuries?
The Han dynasty came in after the first Qin emperor, and the Han came in and they realized that Han Feitsu and Sun Tzu, we all know the famous Sun Tzu who wrote The Art of War.
Right.
They came in and they said, you know, we have to restore the Confucian values. We have to restore, you know, religion and respect for the divine. And so what they did was they said, when the Han came in, the Han emperor said, we need to get rid of Sun Tzu and Han Feitsu because they're just evil. And it's just, it hurt China. It hurt the country. And, but the immediate advisors, the strategists to the first Han emperor said, well, maybe publicly we can excoriate, but we need to keep these ideas for ourselves to help us govern. So it had become the secret, you could call it the esoteric Chinese doctrine. You know.
Right. Well, I'm interested if you know the Politburo, the men who actually run the country, are they primarily the ethnic Hans? Do you know?
The people that know, I'm not sure what that is anymore. It's a mixed society.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's I don't know, Han Chinese. It's kind of almost a myth because the Han dynasty tried to homogenize, tried to get people to speak Mandarin, to adopt the culture, which is really the culture of the North China, and to bring, you know, the South and the other conquered provinces in on that. And because they had this ancient culture, the first Qin emperor wasn't able to destroy all the literature, of course. And they had this, you know, Confucius is so revered. The Confucian ethic is basically revered all throughout the Orient, wherever the Chinese cultural influence was. Even though Japan was never conquered by China, it influenced Japanese culture too.
Really?
Those ideas, yeah. Those ideas influenced everybody. And of course, you had Buddhism. You had, you know, the original ancestor worship religion, but you had Buddhism come into China. You had Taoism, and now it's, you know, communism.
is the ruling party and the ruling ethic there.
Of course
it is. So, and then of course, communism is itself has these evil notions. Whenever you know, this is the thing about Machiavellianism. What you find in Sun Tzu, what you find in Han Feitzu's writings, Han Feitzu actually makes fun of Confucius because he makes fun of goodness. Machiavelli in the West doesn't ever do that. He says, well, we ought to be good, but if you want to succeed in politics as a prince, in his famous book, The Prince, you need to be able to be evil if you have to. Otherwise, since all men are evil, your opponents will destroy you. And that's what Machiavelli basically says, for which we get the word Machiavel, you know, which is an evil, devious person. But when you read Sun Tzu and you read Han Feitzu especially, Han Feitzu just openly mocks goodness. But Sun Tzu tells you to do all these things that are rather evil, that are similar to things that are in Han Feitzu's, in the same spirit. So you could say that Sun Tzu is kind of Machiavelli on steroids. Because there's some interesting stories China has. Their stories, you know, we read about Alexander the Great and Julius Caesar. We read about these great warriors, Hannibal, in our ancient history. The people that the Chinese celebrate, the ones that you hear the stories about, are the sages. Well, the sages in China are the strategists. They're the ones that know all the devious ways. So that, like, there's this one story about this one sage that outwitted all the other sages and all the different kings. This is during the Warring States period or before. All the kings would come to him for advice, and he would give them what sounded like very, very good advice. And they would all follow them and be destroyed, except for the one king that the one person he had picked. And they afterwards, it's like, well, you gave me this advice, you destroyed me. He said, well, was it good advice? Why did you follow it? You know, it's a very strange story. And this is the person that's revered. The person that's so devious, he uses the truth to destroy, you know, his enemies. The truth which is told, which is really not the right truth, right, for that time. So they have this incredible subtlety in their stories. And they just have this respect for this. Which is not, you know, the Frederick the Great, the King of Prussia, wrote a book, an anti-Machiavelli book, and explaining why honor in chivalry was the thing, goodness was the thing, that Machiavelli was evil. This is a king. This is a king of a Western kingdom of the Kingdom of Prussia, writing this book. This was in the West. Honor was, you go to the ancient Romans, honor was that you didn't lie, cheat, or steal. You go back to Scipio Africanus, for example, who was the guy that defeated Hannibal, the Roman general. The idea of honorable behavior, that you keep your word to your allies and to your enemies, that you treat your enemies honorably. This was one of the things Scipio Africanus, you know, Hannibal was such a destroyer of Roman Italy. But Scipio Africanus behaved honorably towards the Carthaginians in their surrender, treated them humanely, treated them with kindness, did not, you know, a lot of Romans wanted Hannibal's head handed over to them. He didn't allow that. So this tradition goes deep in the West. In China, you get the typical story of this one king captures the other king's father, and he says, well, if you don't do what I say, I'm going to boil your father in oil. And the other king says, well, send me some of the soup, and you've boiled him.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's a Chinese story. You wouldn't find a story like that, although there are grisly stories in Western history, particularly related to the tyrants, the Persian kings. Xerxes who invaded Greece, and he was so eager to get on with it. Somebody did not. He came to him. A lord came to him and said, "Could you exempt my sons from the draft?" And he took the sons and he said, "Okay, I'll exempt them. Here, have them lie on the road." And he cut them in half, and he had his army march between the halves of their bodies. if I'm remembering the story right. So there are stories, but that has to do again with a big thing.
We have our last break. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
As I said to those who've joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat.
I hear you fine. Apparently, my engineer can't hear me.
Engineer can hear you. Yeah. Okay.
Jeff, would it be a fair statement that right now, September 2023, we're living the consequences of everything that's taking place for decades, if not centuries, before?
Oh yeah. Obviously, the sum of humanity is the sum of its history. That's why history is so important. You know, when I taught history. Students would say, why do we have to learn this boring stuff? And the thing is that it's an acquired taste. When you realize how useful it is, because what is wisdom? It is what you learn from your own experience. Well, what history is, you're able to learn from the experience of other people. And that adds to your sum of wisdom. That adds to your ability to understand the world that you're in. And the more, you know, since everything is contextual, that is, to understand where we are, this larger context called history in the past is something we have to have. And we're very lucky to have the English language as Americans, because the English language carries in it this great literature, which has within it this common sense tradition that they don't have in other. You look at the French, you look at the Germans, you look at the Russians, the Chinese, they don't have. Chinese have this devious sense tradition, which the Russians kind of got because they were partly under the Mongols, Mongol princes were, of course, educated after a while, because they were originally illiterate. They were educated in Beijing, and they picked this stuff up. So the Russians have a bit of this in their background, too. And from having an autocratic government and a secret police, even under the czars, that used a lot of these methods that came from China. But here in the West, with our common sense tradition and our traditions of republican or mixed government, England has had mixed monarchy, we have a republic, that this is so important to the happiness of our people and to the success of our people in terms of political science. And we're losing it because it's not taught in the schools anymore. The history of where this came from, it came from ancient Greece. The Roman Republic followed it. The American Republic is based on it. The British monarchy is based on it. But now we've adopted something we call democracy. Well, America and Britain weren't intended to be a democracy, but they're functioning more and more like one. And that is a system of government that breaks down into demagoguery. And demagoguery leads to disaster, the corruption of the people. And this is, you know, this is famous. It's talked about by ancient historians and philosophers in both Greek and Roman. And so we've lost this. And if we don't recover it, the ancient political science and philosophy, if we don't treat it seriously, these modern ideas we have are completely inadequate to maintaining a stable society. You can see it around us all the time. Aside from our spiritual history, the history of Christendom, and what that was able, how that complemented the ancient political science and created these stable republics and successful societies, our society is breaking down because we've broken with this knowledge.
Well said, Jeff. Well said. Enjoy the rest of the week. We'll have you back next week. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. As if today, get your medical supplies, your energy cleaner, your essential oils. Now, while you can, your firearms, ammunition. Never, ever give up your guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day. God bless my beautiful county of Crawford County, Missouri. The large, beautiful state of Missouri I get to live in. The even larger, beautiful state of Texas. Lord, please, God bless the United States of America.
From beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.